From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Emerging artists for the first couple hours tonight, and next hour, ESP and psychic espionage. So get ready for that. Here's what's happening. A newly discovered asteroid passed very close to Earth on Sunday. The space rock, estimated to be 60 feet long, well, it flew right over New Zealand about 2:18 p.m. Eastern Time, 25,000 miles from the planet. It didn't hit Earth, obviously, or any of the thousands of satellites orbiting the planet. NASA says it gave astronomers and scientists a chance to study it. Too close to call, as far as I'm concerned. However, a mysterious explosion that rocketed Nicaragua's crowded capital, Managua, created a very large crater, appears to have been caused by a small meteorite that exploded and hit. Let's check in with Dr. Sky, Stephen Cates. Stephen, first of all, this meteorite that hit in Nicaragua, boy, these are all too many. Do you think it had anything to do with the asteroid?
Well, George, it may be a little too early to say for sure, but boy, isn't this surreal, George, that we're talking about this? Just Friday, you and I are talking to the world about this asteroid, 2014 RC, that we know now successfully passed the Earth inside or just around the area of the geosynchronous satellites. But, George, it's a little early to tell, because here's why. What we're finding out, though, from the area around Managua, the international airport, get a load of this. This is incredible. A crater allegedly some 39 feet in diameter and 16 feet deep. George, that's huge. So this may indeed be a particle of this particular asteroid. But we want to also go back in our time tunnel, too. February 15th, 2013, we were talking about asteroid DA14, mm-hmm. which passed the Earth even closer. And then right around the same time, we get the Chelyabinsk fireball, 65 feet in diameter. Now, I've been doing some research on this, George, just in the last hour, and reliable sources tell us that there were some 18 recognized fireballs by NASA's all-sky cameras. It may be a little too early to say right now that this is a piece of the asteroid, but I guess I would think, like you and a lot of other people, why wouldn't it be? Because they named this asteroid, George, Pitbull, because it's small and potentially menacing. Well, George, it almost seems like the pit bull has bit back, don't you think?
I think so, too. And, Stephen, you know me, no coincidence.
Absolutely.
This is way too close as a call. You know, 25,000 miles away, an asteroid, yes. And then we get hit with a meteorite. To me, it sounds like a fragment.
Well, George, in closing, it's a meteorite lover's paradise because, you know, it'd be funny to go down there. It'd be interesting to go down there to the Managua Airport. I'm sure other people have secured the area. But imagine if that object did hit that size, as they're alleging, it probably, and this is just a decent Dr. Sky guesstimate, the size of anywhere from maybe a basketball to a little smaller than that. But, George, that's huge. So we got to keep our eyes to the skies.
You got it, Stephen. Thanks for the updates. A respiratory virus is sending hundreds of children to hospitals in Missouri and possibly throughout the Midwest and beyond. The unusually high number of hospitalizations reported now could be just the tip of the iceberg in terms of severe cases, according to the CDC. 10 states have contacted the CDC for assistance in investigating clusters of they call enterovirus. Colorado, North Carolina, Georgia, Ohio, Iowa, Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Kentucky. Enterovirus, which brings a symptom very much like an intense cold, not unusual. They're actually common when you have a bad summer cold. Often what you have is this virus. The season often hits its peak in September. University of Florida doctors are warning about touching a dangerous type of caterpillar. The fur of the caterpillar is covered in venom, and touching it results in intense pain, convulsions. The caterpillars are known to fall out of trees. Do not touch them. The pain reportedly is worse than a bee, jellyfish, or scorpion sting. The United States needs to do more to help control West Africa's deadly Ebola outbreak to stop it from becoming a global crisis that could one day threaten Americans, according to President Barack Obama. And President Barack Obama is to set out his game plan against Islamic State militants in a speech on Wednesday. The president, who has been criticized for failing to outline a strategy, he says the U.S. would degrade ISIS, shrink their territory, defeat them. U.S. jets bombed ISIS targets in western Iraq for the first time on Sunday. researcher, author, and writer for WND.com, Jerry Corsi, with us. Jerry, first of all, I don't think it's a good plan to announce what the strategy is publicly. Do you?
No, it'd be tipping off, like signaling a play, at a football game or a basketball game.
We're going for a pass.
Right, right, exactly. I think the pressure now is coming from the Democratic Party. I think Democrats facing re-election in Congress are in a pressure situation trying to explain to constituents why President Obama hasn't taken immediate action and serious action against ISIS, the beheadings and all the other horrific acts that ISIS has committed. I think have warned Americans that ISIS could be coming to the United States and a serious threat to the United States, especially with 9/11 this week.
I do, too. I think if he says anything, I hope he merely says we're going to do everything we can and leave it at that, because like you just said, you don't give out your strategy.
Precisely. And I think, the president's going to be under a lot of scrutiny worldwide, and forceful action is going to have to be taken to combat ISIS. I mean, the Democrats, just watching the television shows on Sunday, are calling for destruction of ISIS. Well, these are strong words, and it's not going to be accomplished just by bombing attacks. So we've got to wait to see what President Obama plans to do. But hopefully the president won't tip off exactly the strategy, except to indicate that we're going to go use some massive force to eliminate the threat.
You got it. Jerry, thanks so much. Jerry Corsi, again, he writes for WND.com. As we reported last week, 17 fake cell phone towers were discovered across the U.S. last week, according to a report in Popular Science. And rather than offering you cell phone service, the towers appear to be connecting to nearby phones, bypassing their encryption, and either tapping calls or reading text messages. The towers were found in July, but the report implied that there may have been more out there. Although it's unclear who owns the towers, the company found several of them were located near U.S. military bases. In a moment, private investigator Roger Tulsis joins us. He hopefully will shed some light for us on these cell phone towers. It's a strange story. Roger is next on Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie back at you on Coast to Coast AM. As we just mentioned, 17 fake cell phone towers discovered across the United States last week, according to a report in Popular Science. We're going to check in with Roger Tulsis, Los Angeles-based private investigator specializing in electronic countermeasures. In the past 30 years, he has swept more than 2,500 locations for bugs and wiretaps. He has helped victims of electronic harassment, mind control through the use of over $200,000 of high-tech equipment. And, of course, we turn to Roger quite a bit for stories like this. And, Roger, this is a weird one. What have we been able to uncover? Anything?
Hey, George, always great to modulate the waves with you.
You got it.
Do we have about 60 minutes to discuss this? Because these, anytime you discuss the cell phone system, it's a very complicated system.
It sure is. Pretty darn close to it.
How much time do we have to get into
it? About 45 minutes. So
okay.
We'll dive into this puppy.
Okay. Well, let me start by explaining what a cell phone interceptor is. It will be easier if I kind of give you a little background on what it is, so that you have some idea of, on where it came from. But cell phone interceptors, or sometimes they call them IMSI catchers, IMSI catcher, which stands for the International Mobile Subscriber Identity, the electronic serial number catcher. Anyway, back in around 2001, the FBI went to the electronic company called Harris Corporation. They were a military subcontractor that made military radios for all the armed forces.
Sure. We bought a lot of broadcast equipment over the years from that company, too.
Oh, so is that right?
They're,
okay.
They're into everything.
Yeah. So anyway, they went to the military part of that company, and this was right after around 2001, in that general time after the 9/11 event. And they said, when we want to wiretap a cell phone, we've got that pre-wired. In other words, everybody's cell phone and landline phone, and really their ISP as well, is all pre-wired for being tapped. So that if an agency like the FBI goes to court and gets a wiretap warrant, they only have to go to the service provider, you know, AT&T or Verizon, whoever it might be, mm-hmm. that has that particular subscriber, and hand over the warrant. And literally, they just sit down at a keyboard, and what they do is type in a rerouting of that phone line out of their central office using a wide area network right to FBI headquarters. So because of this law that was put on the books about 25 years ago, called the CALEA law, C-A-L-E-A, which is the Communication Assistance to Law Enforcement Agencies, when they put that law in, it required all the communications companies in America to provide wiretaps into all the communication telephone lines in America. So, and they added that into our bill so that we ended up paying for it.
Okay,
so here on a normal wiretap, they would go to, an agency would go to a court and get a court order for the wiretap. But the problem they ran into is, what if they had somebody who was a individual they were investigating, but they didn't know their cell phone number, or they also were unable to find where they're located, even if they did know the cell phone number.
All right.
So they went to Harris Corporation and said, "You've got to build us some electronic device that would be a cell phone interceptor." So Harris came up with a device called the Stingray. Now, anybody that's sitting right now by their computer can actually see what this equipment looks like if they Google Stingray, kind of like the Corvette, spelled the same way, and Harris Corporation. So if you go Harris Corporation Stingray as your search terms, it'll show you what this device.
Yeah.
And I sent you the material.
Yep.
So you're looking at it now. Okay. So they invented this machine, and basically what this machine does is they install it in a van with a special antenna that goes with it, and I sent the information on the antenna. Antenna mounts on the top of the van, and they drive this van to any location where they want to know the identity of a cell phone of an individual that they have under surveillance. And the way this interceptor works is it acts like a cell tower. In other words, it's a mini cell tower, but it has all the functions of a cell tower. So as an example, let's say that the FBI has tracked somebody to a Starbucks. So they now pull the van slightly away from the Starbucks, and they turn on this interceptor. And what the interceptor does is it then sends out signals that override the existing cell towers in the area, and the machine then requests, it sends out a ping, and it requests every cell phone that's within that range that receives the request to ping back its electronic serial number.
Amazing.
So,
And do the phones have to be in use or
no,
just on?
No, the phones just have to be on.
Okay.
So, in other words, this thing then becomes like the master cell site and sends out this request for this ping request. So then all those cell phones, now they have a list of maybe 10 or 20 cell phones that have responded back, and would literally list not only the electronic serial numbers, but it will also list the actual phone number.
But so this could be for anybody who's in that region, right? So if there
anybody that's within the range of this interceptor cell site.
Okay.
Now, that could end up being, if it's in a city area, it could end up being 10, 20 blocks. You know, this thing comes with a substantial amount of power, because the whole idea is that it wants to override the existing cell towers in the area for this location that they're focusing on, so that those cell phones will start operating off the interceptor and not off the regular towers that they're normally subscribed to. Through their whoever their phones are attached to, as far as the individual, Verizon or AT&T.
Well, if they grab, Roger, 10,000 cell phones, how do they know who that one person is that they want?
Well, this is what they'll do. First of all, they're not going to get 10,000 cell phones, because when you're running the power levels that they are, and that they're right there within a block or two of this Starbucks, they're not going to get that many. They could get a dozen, maybe two dozen. Okay, so then the next thing that happens is that surveillance says, okay, well, our subject has now moved away from Starbucks, and he's now traveling down such and such a road, and now he's gone to his next location. He's gone to the grocery store to shop.
Okay.
So now now since our surveillance people then radio the new location of the person that's under surveillance, we'll then go to that location, and then we'll run another ping. And out of that ping at that location, there's only two phone numbers that are going to match up, because that individual's phone is the only phone that's going to be in the two locations they just tested. You with me?
Yep.
Okay, so the next thing they do is they tell the interceptor, we want you to lock on to that phone. And what we want to do is make sure the phone, if the phone goes into operation, it will only go through us, through our interceptor cell site. And what we're going to do is turn off the encryption. Now, all the cell systems in America are required to have encryption on the phones. All the phones are encrypted, and all the cell companies and all the cell towers all use encryption. And the reason they do that is because, as an example, back in the day of the early cell phones, anybody could use a scanner, and you could listen to, you know, the analog cell phone conversations.
Not much privacy these days, Raj, is there?
Well, back then, there was none, because you could just modify a standard Bearcat scanner to go into the 800 megahertz range, and you can listen to everybody's cell conversations. Okay, so now we've got this guy's phone number. We know what it is. We now have told the interceptor to now make sure that any conversations that go through our interceptor, so that now we ask the interceptor to turn off his encryption. So that when his phone conversation comes through our interceptor, we now can record the complete conversation of not only the individual, of this targeted individual, but anybody he talks to as well.
Okay. And do you have to be close to him at this point, or now it doesn't matter where he is?
No, you always have to be close to him, because in order for you to make the interceptor operate, it has to act like the cell site where this person is. Now we've told his phone, you can only exclusively come through our interceptor, but our interceptor is now going to have to follow him around. That white van with the antenna system on it is now going to have to make sure that we stay within range of the individual. But of course, if he's already under surveillance and they're following this guy around, then you're just tagging along to make sure that all his communications go through your interceptor.
Is this van, Roger, obvious? I mean, you look at it and you go, whoa, what's that?
No, if you look at that information I sent you, it showed the picture of the direction antenna on top. The other aspect of this thing now is, let's say we lose this guy for some reason. He takes off on us. Okay, so we don't know where he is. The other way that this interceptor system works is that you would get, let's say we know that he's with Verizon. Okay, now we know the phone number, but we've lost the guy. We don't know where he is in the city. We now call Verizon, the law enforcement part of Verizon, and tell them that we need to have a location. We need your cell tower system to ping this telephone and tell us where in the city
this guy is. Okay.
Okay, so now we've asked the phone company to ping the whole city, and that's what they do. They ping out, and then this guy's phone will receive that ping, and it will send back a signal saying, hey, I'm over here. That will give you the accuracy of maybe about 5 to 10 blocks surrounding a cell tower. In other words, they'll say, yeah, the phone that he's on responded to this cell tower here, and based on the time it took the ping to take place, we would say he's probably about a quarter mile in this particular direction, because cell towers actually have three patch antennas on them.
Well, now, Roger, these 17 fake cell phone towers that Popular Science reported on, these things seem to be permanently installed in the ground.
No, they're not. As a matter of fact, nobody makes the determination that they're permanently installed. So you want me to now discuss how that went down?
Yeah, and we're going to come up to this break, so why don't you hold on for a second, and we're going to come back and we'll talk about that too. But it's incredible technology that's out there. Roger Tolsis, our special guest this hour, his website, bugsweeps.com, incredible information there. He's a private investigator. He's got stories that would just chill you on some of the things that he has done in his life. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Roger Tulsis. We'll take your calls this half hour as we talk about fake cell phone towers, the Stingray cell phone tracker that the FBI has. So, Roger, these 17 apparent fake cell phone towers, what are they? What have you uncovered here?
Okay, well, first of all, let me just say before we get finished today, I'm going to give that special information that you only hear on Coast to Coast.
You got it.
Before we're done, I'm going to tell you how to see if your phone has been had by an interceptor.
Wow. Okay, that's great information. Okay,
right.
Go ahead.
So here's what's happened recently. There's been a company in the past 2 years that came up with a counter spy phone. It's called the Cryptophone, CryptoPhone 500. That's the model. Made by ESD America, so if you want to Google that up, it'll pop up. This phone costs $3,500, pretty pricey.
It sure is.
But what it does is, as it connects to a cell tower, if that cell tower tells it to shut off its encryption, it will tell you right on the phone that that's an intercept that's happened, that encryption's been shut off, and that you're on a phony cell tower, on a fake cell tower.
Huh.
So that, now keep in mind that your normal cell phones and your smartphones, because the interceptors are set up to make sure that you don't get that reading. In other words, when an interceptor goes with a normal phone and not a sophisticated counter spy phone, it will shut off that indication that the encryption has been stopped. So you never know that you have no idea. Because yeah. Everything is operating normal, the calls are operating just like they would otherwise. So these guys that made this phone started selling them, and then they were selling hundreds and hundreds, and people started saying, well, we're starting to get these indications here in these locations. And if you look at the original, map that's in that article, I could send you a link on that. I don't know if I did or not on the actual article itself. It showed a map of the cities that they went to, that individuals that they had sold the phones to had gotten these readings that their encryption had been shut down. And right away, most people think, well, okay, I've just hooked up to a fake cell tower. But the reason I don't think it's a stationary tower in one place is because if that fake cell tower was either on a mast with other providers, you know, when you look at a cell mast, you'll see that there's several levels of cell systems on it. In other words, you'll see three patch antennas on one level, and then there'll be several levels of three patch antennas. And each one of those could be a different individual that leases from the tower, so it could be AT&T on one level, you know, and it could be Verizon on the next level. And each provider has their own patch antennas and electronic transmission switching gear at the bottom. So when you look at a tower and you see multiple amounts of patch antennas, generally that means that you're looking at more than just one company that services off that tower. So they lease those things. So a couple of things. First of all, if they had a fake cell tower that was operating in one location and it started to take all the calls, in other words, it commandeered all the calls from all the other towers in the area, all of a sudden the technicians would get those companies would get indications from the tower that there's something malfunctioning here, because instead of having the normal call volume, we don't have normal call volume. So they'd be sending technicians out to find out, well, where's all the calls going, because the individuals apparently are making the calls, but they're not coming through our system.
Aha, okay.
So then what they'd start... hit a bad button there.
Okay.
Then if they decided to look further into it, they would then go to the tower leasing agent and say, you know, who else is here, you know, trying to identify those other antennas and transmission switches to see who would be there that would be interrupting the normal flow of call volume. So that's what makes me think that really basically what's happened there is these people have reported back to the ESD America Cryptophone 500 saying, hey, my 500 is finding these areas where it's shutting off the encryption. So there must be some kind of a fake tower there. But in fact, I think what's happening is they're running interceptors. Now, the interesting part on the interceptors is that when Harris made arrangements with the FBI, they not only sold these interceptors to the FBI, but they sold them to all the local police departments that wanted them as well, that could afford $75,000. In some cases, in Florida, they actually gave them to the local departments. And the interesting part of it, when they did so, they forced all the departments to sign non-disclosure agreements. So they were trying to keep this whole idea of intercepting cell phones quiet. And as a result of that, what was happening is that they were making arrests on people that had cell phones that they were tracking. They were tracking down criminals and arresting people, but they were coming to court saying that, no, it happened to be, we happened to incidentally arrest this individual, or we had undercover somebody. So they tried to do that because the contract with Harris said that they couldn't under any circumstances, even court circumstances, disclosed that that's the way they were making arrests on and tracking people down and making arrests. And so it ended up being a very big court case relating to that. In 2008, they found out that they had really tracked down these individuals' cell phones to make the arrests, and the American Civil Liberties Union got involved with it. And so they had this big case where the whole thing became exposed, and the contract as well. So I don't think that these are going to be, people assume that they're portable cell towers, but I really think that they're going to end up being interceptors that are in vans. That would be more likely.
It's not going to be a secret anymore after this show, Roger, is it?
No, but let me go ahead and give you this information that's really important for everybody to know. The thing about an interceptor is what it did is it hijacked your phone. So that phone call that you made is no longer going to be on your bill, because once the interceptor intercepts your cell phone, it then routes the phone, all your phone conversations through its system. And so the calls that you make and receive that goes through their system go through their connection to the network. So that means that if you're looking at your cell bill online and you're keeping a log of your cell phone calls, and you go onto your cell phone bill online with whomever you're subscribed to, you know, Verizon, say, and you see that those calls that you made are not on your Verizon bill.
In other words,
the ins and outs, then you know that the interceptors have been handling your phone traffic and that you must be under surveillance.
I like that. Let's take a few calls here, and then we'll have you give us some more specifics here, Roger, for people. First-time caller.
That's information that you're only going to hear on Coast to Coast. You know how advanced we are about things. So this is another night where we're giving you information about how to check this kind of thing. You're not going to hear it anywhere else.
Robert in Modesto, California. Robert, go ahead with your question with Roger Tulsis.
Yeah, I just had a question about how you said earlier about how they hijacked the encryption and they had the cell company shut it off. I was wondering if they took the battery out of the phone and reset their phone, if that would reset the encryption, or how would that work exactly?
No, that the actual interceptor sends the command to the phone to shut the encryption off, so you can't override that. It's actually in the control of the cell tower or server, in this case. The interceptor would command your phone that the only way it'll put the call through is with the encryption shut down.
These organizations, Roger, now you suspect the FBI, of course, being one of them with Stingray. What about the NSA, the CIA, or the mob or somebody? Can just about anybody be doing this?
Well, anybody that could get their hands on these things, but they don't sell them to other than government agents, although they do sell them to foreign entities. In other words, you can, outside the United States, buy these things if you're another country, and you know how this kind of stuff gets black marketed around.
Sure.
It could happen. And, of course, there's some pretty smart people that have made their own homemade versions of this, not quite as sophisticated. But there are people that have hacked the system by putting their own things together and doing similar to this, but not quite as sophisticated.
Next up, Katie's in Wichita, Kansas. Katie, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Thanks for taking my call. Roger, first, I just have to say that you are one of my favorite guests on Coast to Coast, and I've been listening for over a decade and a half, and I just love it when you're on the show. But I have a quick question about the fake cell towers. The law enforcement agencies that use them, are they typically targeting like most wanted criminals, or just are they using them on everyday ordinary criminals, you know, like small time criminals, I guess you could say?
I'm sure that they're using it on all kinds of things, because on this particular court case where they call this police officer who was the technician up to ask him about this case, they asked him how many times he used it, and he said, probably about 200 times so far. And he said it's never been wrong. We've always tracked the individuals down with the system. It's never had a problem.
Roger, it seems that this technology is getting better and better and better for people to spy on us. Where's it going to be 5 years from now? It'll be much better than it is even now, isn't it?
Well, you know, you and I did that whole show on the prophecies, the 1984 prophecies, which talked about where, you know, like that individual that had the telescreen in his room, and he couldn't even smile, or you know, as the propaganda came in on the telescreen, he couldn't even make faces because they were always watching him. So, you know, with face recognition and all this other stuff that's going on, you know, I'm not very hopeful about where things are going unless something really shakes up, because, you know, these entities like the NSA have so much power now that they literally could be running the country.
That's true, and they probably are. Georgette's in San Francisco. Hi, Georgette, go ahead.
Hi, I'm really glad you're having this discussion tonight. For 25 years, I was a switching technician for a large monopoly, and I was doing landlines working on translations, and that CODIA stuff was in the switch. I worked on a Northern Telcom switch, and that was available, but you had to have a certain type of software to go with it, and for years they dragged their feet because they knew it was coming down the pipe that they could get the government to pay for it. But truly, the government at any remote location can get into landlines. All they need is access into the individual switch, and there you go. They have it.
Well, thank you for that verification. I appreciate that. Yep, that's how simple it is. You just have some low-level intelligence guy sit down at a computer, type in a few keys, and all of George Norrie's phones, all of George Norrie's landlines, all of George Norrie's ISPs, it all goes into the hard drive. How's that sound?
Get it all. Get it all. Now, Roger, let's give folks some more tips on what they can do to decide, one, if they've got this problem, this issue, and then what do they do about it?
Well, the main thing to know is to know that you're under surveillance. So, in other words, if you log your calls and then you go online and look at your bills, then as long as those calls are listed with your carrier, then you were not had by an interceptor. So that's the first thing. The other thing you can do then, if you're really serious about it, is you can buy a CryptoPhone 500 for $3,500 so that you have real time. This CryptoPhone does quite a few good things. It not only is set up for evaluating cell connections as far as their integrity, but they also have the ability to switch on a Wi-Fi network. So if you happen to be in a zone where there's Wi-Fi, you can make your calls through this phone using the Wi-Fi connection.
All right, let's go next to Bob, truck driving in Missouri. You're on with Roger Tulsis. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, George. Yeah, my condolences to you anyway.
Thank you.
What I was going to say, and I heard something after I called in. But anyway, I drove down to Nevada and Utah and places where we didn't have cell service before. I mean, none at all. They have portable towers set up now, and they're on a trailer, you know, and they have extending towers that go up, cell towers, so we got cell service where we didn't have them before. That's one thing. Several different places down, you know, 318 and US 93 down in Nevada. and then talking about the NSA, I was on a job this summer and down in Utah, and we're right there by the NSA, and that's a crazy place, you know. The amount of electricity going in it. And but anyway, I think we're all under surveillance now anyway.
we probably are. And Roger, you know, the fact that they're after one or two individuals, what do they do with the data from everybody else that they're not after?
No, they just store it on this new Bluffdale facility. That was the whole idea of putting Bluffdale up, is that they could get that, I think it's 1 million square feet of space for supercomputers to store all communications. So every, you know, all your phone calls, all your cell calls, all your landline, all your ISP searches, everything that you do would be stored on these computers for reference in the future. So that that they can have instant dossiers on people when they be, you know, somebody new becomes of interest, they would then go to those machines and retrieve everything you've done for the past 5 years electronically.
Again, Roger's website, bugsweeps.com, linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Here's Eric in New Haven, Connecticut now. Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? I want to comment. I'm a police officer, and actually we do use phones to track people, but generally it's when someone's suicidal, and it's not something we have access to. We have to call and get authorization for it. We have to call a company that generally, it's usually the cell phone company, and they're the ones that can actually track the individual, but it's not precise. It's within like generally they triangulate off of their towers, and it puts us like in maybe 100-yard radius of them, and that's generally what it's used for on our end. And you know, I've listened to your show and other shows, and people comment how the police are, you know, getting more and more of this technology. You know, we're about a 150-man department. We don't have access to stuff like that. Now, the federal government, that's one thing.
Sure.
But individual departments, it just does, we don't have it. And also, and I just want to add too, you know, the guys I work with, if we ever got orders to come down, we got to start spying on people, and it wouldn't happen. We're not like that. And it's there's a lot of people out there that are talking, and they don't know what they're talking about because we're not out to do that.
Well, let me tell you, Eric, I think that you're one of the many great police officers that are out there that we can depend on. There's a handful out there, of course, that you can't, you know, and you get that in every bushel. There's no doubt about that. But time will tell, Mr. Tulsis, about what will happen with all this technology, don't you think?
Well, you know, once again, the more powerful the technology gets, the smaller our ability to keep our privacy. So it's shrinking at a rate that's mind-boggling. But this is just another little piece of the story. And just one comment: I think that 2008 case was the Tallahassee Police Department, so it was a city PD that did have machine.
Some of them have it. I mean, his doesn't, but some of them might. Raj, thanks for being on the program. Appreciate it.
Okay, George, Roger, we'll see you next time around.
You got it. Roger Tulsis, he's an expert in all kinds of things when you have to investigate. Up next, we're going to talk about ESP.